All right, I'm going to be over in Romans this morning. First chapter, if you want to turn there, I'll get down, I'll read the scripture here in just a little bit. I want to tell you, I stand here this morning, I stand here overwhelmed. You know, I'm humbled and I'm rejoicing in my spirit. I really am. Not because I get to preach to you, but because I'm saved this morning. I mean, you know, that you can't, it's because the Lord saved me one day. You know, thank God, you know, he called me to preach one day. That shows that God's got a sense of humor. But I thank God this morning that I'm saved. I really do. I hope your only joy isn't just in your relationships. Now, I'm going to talk to you a little bit, but this is free. This ain't part of the sermon. But I hope your joy isn't just because of your relationships this morning or your hobbies or your personal ambitions or your traveling or whatever it may be, because any of these things, you know as well as I do, they can change. You can be in a relationship and the next day that relationship could fall apart. But praise God, you still got Jesus. Amen? Because of the thing, you know, because of these things, I hope they're not the only joy that you have in your life. Listen, personal accomplishments can fall apart. We know that, right? Any personal accomplishment you make in your life, it can fall apart. There'll come a time when you're not able to do your hobbies. There'll come that time. Then will you still have joy in your life? Will you still have joy? I heard an older preacher tell young preachers, which I was one of them one time, don't take joy in your preaching. Because one day you may not be able to do that. Then where is your joy? And I've let that stick with me down through the years a little bit, you know. Listen, because Jesus said, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're written in heaven. You know, you can rejoice in that here this morning. You can rejoice in that. No matter what's going on, you can rejoice in the fact, if you're a born-again, bought-by-the-blood Christian, your name is written in heaven. Praise God this morning. Listen, that's why I want to say to all of you this morning, love Jesus because I love Jesus because he changed my heart. And I hope that's why you love him this morning as well. How many of you here this morning are glad that you're saved? Raise your hand. Are you truly glad that Jesus saved your life this morning? And if you want to keep that joy, if you want to keep that joy in your life, in your family, in your service for God, keep the joy in your salvation. Keep it. And if you don't feel that this morning, can I tell you something? The Bible says, I have good news for you. The Bible's full of good news. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restore unto me the joy. And if you're lost here this morning, I can tell you that you can receive that joy this morning. Because we serve that kind of a God. You can't beat being saved. You can't beat it. I'm not, you cannot beat it. Jesus comes into your life and right now, and guess what? You get to live with him for eternity. It isn't something that he just saves you then drops you. He said he will go with you. What a deal. If you know the Lord here, there should be something jumping up and down inside of you. That thing's the Holy Spirit. It should be jumping up and down inside of you. There's nothing like knowing that you're saved. That was, praise God, that was free this morning. I hope you enjoyed it. Praise God. The things that he does, the joy that you should feel in your heart this morning. How many of you have your Bibles with you? You may have your phone, but how many of you have your Bibles this morning? Raise it up in the air. I love that book. Do you love that book this morning? I hope and pray that you love it. I hope that you pray. Now, what do you think about it? But the Lord has something to say to all of us, right? You better love that book this morning, because I have nothing for you this morning, me personally, but the Lord does. The Lord does. He has something for you. So if you opened your Bibles, and I told you to turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Chapter 1, what a powerful verse. What a powerful verse. And if you're able, let's stand and every one of us read it out loud together. How about that? I'll start it and you read right along with me. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Praise His name. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Father, we come, Lord, this morning. I want to thank You, Lord, for the opportunity one more time to stand behind the sacred desk, Lord. I want to praise You. I want to give You all the glory. Lord, I pray that You would open the hearts of those that are here this morning. And Lord, I pray, Father, that the message would go the way that You would have it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach about a subject this morning that is intertwined all through our Bible. As a matter of fact, as Olita was praying this morning, I heard her mention about this morning, praying for the power. Praying for the power. Now listen, it's intertwined throughout the Bible, and especially in the book of Romans, the subject I'm going to talk about is intertwined in there especially, and that is the power of God. And I want to talk, if the Lord would allow me this morning a little bit, to talk to you about the power of God. Paul talks about it in the first chapter of Romans, and guess what? He finishes up with it in the last chapter of Romans. He talks about the power of God all the way through it. In Romans 16:25, he tells us this: Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Brothers and sisters, there is power all through the book of Romans. If you're saved here this morning, it's because of the power of God. Can I have an amen? Amen. If you're saved, how many of you are glad that you're in this verse this morning? I'm glad I'm in this verse this morning, aren't you? Praise God. If you're a Jew or if you're a Gentile, if you're saved, praise God. You should be able to stand and praise Him with every amount of breath that you have this morning. Because praise God, that is the power of God in your life this morning. There is power in the gospel. There is. Now, I want to draw your attention to the phrase that's in the power of God unto salvation this morning in that book. You know what? And especially where it says the power of God. There's a lot of powers in this world. I hope we all know that. There's a lot of powers that resonate in this world today. Political powers, and economical powers, military powers, there's educational powers. There's the power of social media. There's organizational powers. I could go on and on and on of all the powers that are in this world. But let me remind everyone, let me remind you right now that those powers may be relevant, but they're nothing compared to the power of God. Not a thing. There is a power that exceeds all other powers. And that is the power of God. Psalms 147:5 says this: Great is our Lord, and of great power, His understanding is infinite. It is. God's power and understanding are beyond anything in any measure that me and you could even imagine this morning. God said all power belongs to Him. All power belongs to God. In Psalm 62:11, it tells us this: God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. That's it. And Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, He said this: And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. If anyone has any power, I mentioned all those powers out there a little bit ago. If anyone has any powers, God gave it to them. He's the one that gave it to them. Don't miss what I'm saying here this morning. All power, no matter who or what it is delegated from God Almighty this morning. That's who it is. Nations fight because they want power. They do. The majority of divisions in homes is because someone wants power. The majority of division in churches is because someone wants power. Amen? The church is not immune to any of this stuff. Every bit of strife and contention on this planet is over somebody wants power. Majority of the time is somebody wants power. That was not theirs to have to begin with. Us, as a family, in a home, wherever it may be, listen to me, we got to understand that God is the ultimate power and we answer to Him. In a church, God is the ultimate power. I answer to Him, you answer to Him, we all answer to that God. God is all powerful and almighty, and anything that is given to anybody comes from God. That was not theirs to have. Satan did what he did at the beginning because why? He wanted power. He wanted power. It says, for thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. This is Satan. This is they're talking about Satan. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will set it also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Brothers and sisters, Satan wanted power. And listen to me. God is the ultimate power. Folks, as we read the Bible, that is evident that God wants us to know that He is the Lord God Almighty. And greatly to be praised. He is the Lord God Almighty. Revelation 4, John saw the throne in heaven and God sitting on His throne. And around the throne, there were four living creatures. You remember it? And verse 8 tells us that what those creatures did day and night. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That'd make a good song, would it not? Praise His name this morning. Praise His name. He is the one. He is it. There is power in His holy word. You believe in that? Hebrews 4:12 tells us, for the word of God is quick, and it is powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We just went through the Ephesians 6, and we talked about putting on the whole armor of God, and it talked about the sword of the Spirit, the Word. You know what? Whenever you talk about the sword of the Word, it's meant for a specific thing. You could take the Word of God and use it for a specific thing. That's what I say, and that is your weapon right there. That's what you can do. God's Word, His holy Word, is powerful. It's powerful, the word. It's brought forth by someone. In Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Praise God. You know, you talk about not having the faith that you should have. Get your nose into the word of God. Get your nose into the word of God. The word is the hammer that breaks the stone of a hardened heart. The word is the sword that pierces even into the innermost parts of a person's soul. I believe more than I ever have in my life in the sufficiency of the word of God. Can you say that this morning? I believe more than I've ever believed. The older I get, the more that I trust in the words in red. The older I get, the more that I dig into the word of God and understand what it's trying to tell me. Listen, people don't need our stories. They don't need my stories. They don't need my wisdom. They don't need my doctrine or my ideas. They need the living Word of God. That's what they need more than anything else in this world. They're more than ever, people need the Word of God. They need it. And unfortunately, maybe we're failing sometimes in that. So we go into our own dialogues and to grab things out there that only what God wants us to do is to preach the living Word of God. There's power in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. There's power in Him. Romans 1:3-6, it says this, concerning His Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which it goes on to say, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with what? With power. And it goes on, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience and to the faith among all nations for His name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. There's power in Jesus. If you're called here this morning, you've experienced the power of Jesus Christ in your life. I got on my knees one time, and I experienced the power of Jesus Christ in my life. There is no name like Jesus on this planet. The Bible tells us, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Nobody takes the name of Buddha in vain. No, nobody uses Muhammad to swear by. They do Jesus. Nobody uses Braham as a curse word or a slang word. They don't. Only the name of Jesus. Because why? Satan hates the name of Jesus. Because he knows it is what saves people from their sins. Buddha doesn't save them from their sins. He could care less if they curse and raise Cain about Buddha. But brothers and sisters, you talk about Jesus, and I'm telling you, you'll get a reaction one way or the other from people. Because he knows there's power in the name of Jesus. Because of the name of Jesus. Listen, John 12, 31 and 32. Now this is the judgment of the world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. All men unto me. Hell trembles at the name of Jesus. We see that in the Bible as well, do we not? James 2, 19. Thou believest there is a God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Can I tell you something? There's no atheist in the devils. They know there's a God. You know where there's atheists? Just in these human beings down here, some of them that run this planet. But the devils know that there's a God. They know that Jesus is real. When we preach about Jesus, there is a power that attends to that like nothing else on this earth. You preach Jesus, and I'm telling you, you watch people. You watch them. You can't access the Father without Jesus. You can't. John 14, 6 says this. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man. You can raise your hand because you're no man. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. 1 Timothy 2, 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and the man, Jesus Christ. There is power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The devils, whenever he come down here and walked this earth for those 33 years, every time they come in contact with Jesus, they trembled. They knew who he was. And praise God, do you know what? We should understand this morning, there is power in Jesus Christ this morning. There is power in true salvation. Look again at this morning's scripture. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to what? Unto salvation. There will be a great transformation in your life that comes from a great and powerful salvation. You know that? 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you haven't been transformed, if you haven't been transformed, you're not saved this morning. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Can I tell you this? Whenever Jesus moves in, Tracy, he starts remodeling. Did you know that? Whenever he comes in, he starts remodeling. He replaces the sidings. He replaces the shingles, the gutters, and the downspouts. When Jesus moves in, he brings in his new furniture. Amen? All of his own furniture comes in. All the old furniture goes out. Behold, all things become new. Praise his name this morning. When he changes the curtains, the carpet, and puts a fresh paint job on it. Out with the old and in with the new. Folks, there will be a change in your life when salvation comes into your life. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you from Dave Long's experience. When I got saved, he changed me. I didn't think the way I used to think. All the devil tries to come in once in a while. I didn't act the way I used to act. All the devil tries to come in once in a while. But praise God, you know what? The moment that I start acting like that, convicting power of the Holy Spirit come upon me. Praise God, you're changed. Listen, if you're sitting here this morning telling me you're a Christian and things have not changed in your life, I'll tell you, you need to get to an altar somewhere. Amen. That's right. There will be a change. There will be a change. I'm telling you. Salvation will change you. Folks, there will be a change in your life. There is nothing like believing the gospel and being saved. Nothing like it. tell you something else there's power in too. There's power in your testimony. 2 Timothy 1:8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction in the gospel according to the power of God. When you come to know Jesus, you'll want others to know Jesus. There's no secret Christians. Amen. You want the world to know about Jesus, because there is nothing like salvation. Revelation 12:11, it says, and they have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, and by what? The powers of their testimony. There is power in your testimony. Don't ever forget that. That can make you an overcomer. Sharing your personal experiences with other people. Listen to me, of God's grace and power and how he's changed you. Your testimony is a powerful weapon against the enemy. Listen, I've talked to a number of people in my life about what God has done for me. Talked to a lot of them. Some of them push it aside, but you'll see other ones that'll look and you'll take interest. What God has done for me, he'll do for others.
There you go. Amen.
There is power in your testimony. There is power in it. Don't forget that. Your testimony can encourage and it can uplift. How many times have people stood up in here and testified about what God has done for them? And you see other people uplifted. You see other people praising God because of what's going on in their life. A Christian's testimony should be in the light. It's a light in the darkness. Neither do a man light a candle and put it under a bushel. Right? He puts it up on a lampstick for the whole, so it'll light the whole room. You know what? You could have this place in here as dark as you want it, and you could light a little light and it'll illuminate it. Why? Because that's what the power of your testimony is like as well. It's what it's like. There is also power in the Holy Spirit. Amen. There is power in the Holy Spirit. Understand that here this morning. Listen, Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through what? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost. Mark in your Bibles. There's three things in chapter 15 I want to mark in your Bible. In verse 13, it says this, through the power of the Holy Ghost. And it says this in Romans 15:16. You're sanctified by the Holy Ghost. And in Romans 15:19, by the power of the Spirit of God. That's the Holy Ghost. I love the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. He convinced me that I was lost. If you're sitting here this morning and you're lost, and you feel that little tug upon your heart, that's not me. That's the Holy Spirit dealing with you this morning. John 16:8 says this, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Spirit in your life from the moment of rebirth. He doesn't just leave you. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Everybody that is saved here this morning, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Your body, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own from that point on. Do you understand that? You're not your own. You're owned by God. He's the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit unites. It don't divide. Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. The Holy Spirit can pray when we don't know what to pray for. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Romans 8:26. The Holy Spirit guides us through this life and sanctifies us. John 16 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. You listen to something you're wanting to know. Listen, you're wanting to know whether it's the truth or not. The Holy Spirit will show you. The best teacher I've ever had in my life has been the Holy Spirit, Alita. The best. I tell everybody, and I understand. I've got commentaries in my office. I can go out online. I can search up anything and everything. But when it gets right down to it, you know what I do? I get on my knees and I pray. I say, God, you show me what's right. The Holy Spirit is the one that can teach and guide you and show you the way. We are sanctified. We're set apart by the Holy Spirit. It's a lifelong relationship, Jeremy. It takes us from the moment we're reborn until we die and go out of this world, or he calls us home, or he comes and gets us in the rapture one day. Producing spiritual fruit within our lives. The Holy Spirit does that. The love, the joy, the peace, the forbearance, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, and the self-control. Those are all part. Folks, I know that unless the Holy Spirit brings the anointing on this service this morning, it's just like me up here, Jamie says, wind jamming. And it's like you just sitting back here wasting your time unless you let the Holy Spirit teach you what needs to be taught you. God could anoint my sermon this morning. He could anoint my sermons every time, and I could be preaching my heart out. And unless the anointing is upon you to get it, you understand what I'm saying here? It's the way that this thing works. Nothing of any eternal value is being done here this morning set aside unless the Holy Spirit does the work here this morning. Nothing. Nothing. You couldn't even be in the family of God without the work of the Holy Spirit. We do know that this morning, right? There's no substitute for the work of the Holy Spirit in a human being's life. None whatsoever. None. Me, you, anybody else, there's no substitute for it here this morning. We do understand it was the Holy Spirit that was there when God created everything, right? Now, I like this verse of Scripture, Michelle. I like this. It's back in Genesis 1-2. I like this. He tells us this. I want to read it to you because I want to explain to you why this God showed me something with this verse of Scripture. And the earth was out form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. He was back there during creation. The Holy Spirit was back there. But I want you to understand something. We talk about today how bad the world is, don't we? We talk about it. Now, back then, it said the world was full of darkness, emptiness, and chaos. Sound familiar? Sound familiar? God showed me this. Praise His holy name. The world was full. It's full of that today. That's when the Holy Spirit does its best work. When there's chaos and darkness and all the stuff out there, that's when the Holy Spirit can do its best work. The Holy Spirit brings light out of darkness. He brings fullness when there's emptiness. And He brings order when there's chaos. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the power. The Holy Spirit will set everything in order. Your life may be full of chaos and darkness and stuff today. Let the Holy Spirit work. Let Him work. And He can set things in order for your life. And whenever the Holy Spirit does a work, no man gets the credit for it. Only God gets the credit for it. Amen? Julie or Teresa, if you guys want to get a song, I'm about done, please. I don't care. The Holy Spirit is God, the creator of the universe, living inside of you. That's what it is. Can you even comprehend that? I want you to just sit back. I don't care where you're at in your life, where you go home after a while, whatever you do, sit down and just think about that. That the Holy Spirit is God, the creator of the universe, living in you. walking with you each and every day. Can you even fathom that? I can't fathom that whatsoever sometimes. It just, to use an old term from the 70s, just blows my mind. There is power in the Holy Spirit. And let me finish with this. I started, the power of God is still working no matter what man may say. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ears heavy, that it cannot hear. God, you may think that God's not hearing your prayers, but his ears never grow heavy to the calling of his children. Never. And if you're lost here this morning, and your heart is broken, and you need a Savior, I'm telling you here this morning, his ears are not heavy if you come in a contrite heart and the Spirit is calling you and knocking upon your heart. He will save to the uttermost. To the uttermost. If you are here lost and discouraged and broken down, his ears is not heavy. Amen. There is power. Power in a God that we serve. Power in his word. Power in Jesus. Power in the Holy Spirit. Power in your testimony. Don't forget that.